thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Everybody should have been singing on that, because that's been around forever. We've been singing that in church. I don't care what denomination you are. They sang that. Well, I don't guess they did it in the liturgical churches, the Lutherans and the Episcopals and Catholic, but the Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostals, and they all sang that song, Presbyterian. So, amen. You know, it pays to pay attention. Hello. You know, this is the Christmas season, and man, we all busy, and we got all kinds of, I mean, besides two boys in high school basketball and Rhema Eagle basketball, I've been to, I don't know how many basketball games the last week or so, and then we got, we got all of the activities at the church and everything that's going on. I got something tomorrow night, and then the next night I got two basketball games to go to. Got to go to one. I got two boys, Skyler's in Summit Christian and Trevor's at Metro Christian, and now they played one another the other day, so they were against one another, so I had to go to one place. But now I have to choose. I go to one of them's JV game, I go to the other one varsity game, because they both play JV and varsity. So Poppy has to divide his time, you know. and then we get in the house ready, because they'll all, after the 24th, we have the Carol's Candlelight over there at Rhema and in Broken Arrow. And after that, they all come to the house for Nana's chicken and dumplings, and they're already talking about it. You know, we got, for y'all don't know, we have, my daughter has two boys, my son's got three. We got five grandsons, 22, 19, 16, 15, and 12. And she makes an 18-quart roaster full of chicken and dumplings, and there's not much left when they all get through with it. Of course, myself and Don, that's my son-in-law, and Craig, we sort of helped those five boys out a little bit. Denise and Lynette and them, they get a little bit, but but they are, those boys are already talking about today. We're talking about Nana's that, but we're busy. The thing I'm trying to get at, we're busy, but in our busyness, it pays to pay attention to the Word of God. And King Solomon said it like this in Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20. I'm going to read the New King James, then I'm going to read the NLT, okay? All right. I'll see when everybody's ready. Some of them finding it on their iPad, and some are finding it on their phone, and some are finding it in their Bible, and some are doing it in both. You know, I got the Bible here, but I got it all printed out right here in my notes, and I also got it here in my phone. So I can go to it in three places right now. All right, here we go. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Now I want to read that from the New Living Translation. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen careful to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they will bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. You know, one man said the basics is where we will find success in life, executing the basics. And one man said success is hidden in the daily routine. Now, how many of you in here have played on sports in school or something? You know, the team that usually executed the basics the best was the one that usually won. How many of y'all have found that out? Y'all out there, y'all gone home already. I mean, I'm not hearing no noise. So I'm trying to figure out if you're still there or not. You know, the basics, you know, Vince Lombardi used to say, I will give you my plays. You know, if you don't know who Vince Lombardi are, he was a great, great coach, coached the Green Bay Packers to several championships. But he said, I'll give you my plays, and if my team executes the basics properly, you can't stop us, even though you know the play. And that's the truth. I mean, the basics is where it's all at. You know, now, boy, it is so great. I mean, you know, it's so great when you have scored the basket or scored the winning run or caught a touchdown pass and the crowd's going crazy and the teammates is beating you on the back and everything. And, man, it is just really, really great. But you know what? When you've done that, and I've had that pleasure a few times, what did I have to do to get there? I had to pay attention and practice. I had to pay attention to every little detail. Successful players have practiced so well that they can, it's second nature to them. You go over and over a play. If you have to stop and think about what you're supposed to do, by the time you through thinking, it's all over. Yes. Hello? Yeah. You know, I mean, when we're running, say I'm running a basketball, I played basketball when I was in high school. Now, if I had, I say, okay, now, okay, he's dribbling down there, so now I've got to go over here, and if he passes it to me, I'm supposed to pass it to him, and then I'm supposed to go over here. By the time I go through all of that, it's too late. And you know what? Sometimes we don't execute the basics properly, and we lose out. The enemy takes advantage of us. You know, if you want to be successful in your Christian life, you know, we need to do the basics. The basic, the first basic is reading the word. The second one is praying and believing God. Another one is going to church and worshiping. Another one is walking in love towards your fellow man. You know, our foundation for our Christian life is dealt with right here in these scriptures that Solomon had. That's a foundation for us. You know, in Oklahoma, what I don't know about over here, because I don't know nothing, all the building I've done is on that 110 acres over there in Broken Arrow, and built, I don't know how many buildings I've built over there. there wasn't much there when we started, was there, Danny? That's all field, wasn't it? One building. Now I don't know how many they are. But you know what we found out? I found out that soil there is made up of too much clay. And even our apartments over there, we're having to go over there and to jack up the foundation because they didn't do it properly. We have a big church. Anybody ever seen the main church auditorium in Broken Arrow? That's a big church. It's a 350-foot square. If you don't know what that is, that's 100 yards that way, 100 yards this way, 100 yards this way, and 100 yards back that way. Now, when we started building that, we had to go in there, and we had to take out 3 feet of soil. And we had a huge pile of dirt out there that they called Hagen, all the people in Broken Arrow called Hagen's Mountain. And then we had to bring in new soil, and then we had to bring in some lime and some different other things, and we had to sheep foot it and mix it all up and finally and then roll it out. And finally, when they were finished, that pad where we built was as hard as concrete. I mean, you could go out there and dribble a basketball on it. You couldn't even dig into it. It was mixed hard. Now, that was just the pad. Now, I don't know how many hundred piers are under that building. I think there's 300, I think, something like that. There's three of them because if you've ever been inside the auditorium, it's completely, and it's a wide auditorium and there's no post, anything. So you got a deal, beam going up here and then coming. You got one on that side coming, and you got one on that side. Those piers that those beams are hooked to are 6 feet diameter. And they're 63 feet deep. And they got a cage of rebar that is 2 inches around, and it's all put together in a cage, and some of you that know construction know what I'm talking about, and it's 63 feet deep, and it has to be put all together, and it's dropped in the middle of there, and then they bring those concrete trucks in, and they start, and you know how much a 6 foot diameter, 63 feet deep, they several loads of several concrete truck loads in there. But now, they just didn't do that. Then they took a shaker, what they call, and they put it down all the way to the bottom as they were pouring in it, and it would shake that concrete so that there was no honeycombs. It would mix and it would be solid. Then on top of that, they put a metal plate with bolts sticking up so they could bolt that beam to that. I mean, they said you can drive a semi-truck into one side of that building and you never feel it on the other side, and we found that out when we had that 22-inch, remember when we had that 22-inch snowstorm? I don't know whether y'all got it over here or not, but we got it in Tulsa. And because of the way the wind was blowing, all of the snow congregated on the backside of that roof, and it started to sag in and so forth and so on. And the engineers that built the building, they come back, they go up there and they said, man, and we had to get people up there, guys up on top of that, and we had to get that all off of there. And then we had to replace part of the roof and some of the purlings inside of it. But you know what? They said that if we had not have put the foundation that we put underneath that building, that building probably would have collapsed. They said the weight of that snow on the back of that building was the equivalent of 6 semi-loads of steel that we built the building with, setting up there on that roof. And it just, there were just about 4 purlings that bent and a little bit of other stuff, and that was it, you know. But the foundation, what I'm getting back to you, and I'm using that illustration because I know I was involved with it, I helped build it. The foundation was the thing the engineer said, that foundation was the thing that saved that building. Because it was anchored and it was built correctly. Now, the foundation for our Christian life is the foundation of the Word of God in our lives. Everything that we get from God, everything that happens to us from God, all of His blessings, all of His promises, comes on the foundation of God's Word that we put inside of ourselves. Amen. That's where it comes, you know. So, now, look at what He said in these verses. I want to go to these. And for there He says, give attention to My words. Incline your ear. Pay attention, He's saying. Listen carefully. How many of you have ever said to your children or grandchildren, or had your parents or a teacher get a hold of your shoulders? My dad got a hold of my shoulders like this, and he looked me in the eye and he said, pay attention to what I'm saying. Anybody ever been there except me? Well, I see about 5 people have been there. I had a coach one time, because I played football back when you had your helmet was really, it was just mostly plastic with a ribbon up here and some little cheek deals there. It wasn't like they have today, I can tell you. And it had that one little bar across there. Anybody play when they had the one bar besides me? Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? It wasn't much of a helmet, was it, Kurt? But it protected a little bit. But I had a coach, he got hold of my, he didn't shake me, and then he just got, he said, look at me. Now listen to what I'm saying. This is what I want. Pay attention. You ever had school teacher call you and say, hey, pay attention? Because your mind was wandering off somewhere. You wasn't interested in history. You was interested in about what you was going to do after school was over. See, we get, sometimes we get to just going along with God. Everything seems to be going fine. And we forget to pay attention to the basics of studying the Word of God. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves the basic study of the Word. Incline your ear. Another, put forth effort. Exert some effort to pay attention and to listen to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Now, that can either be you reading it or hearing it preached or hearing somebody else read it. But you see, we need to make it a priority to incline our ear to the Word. Cultivate a daily habit of reading the Word, studying the Word. You realize that your Christian life rises or falls on whether you're paying attention to the Word or not. Amen. Now, you've heard me say this before. I say it again. People come up to my dad and say, Brother Hagin, what about this? What about this? And he would always say, what does the Word say? I'd ask him, what, son, what does the Word say? He always was paying attention to the Word, inclining in his ear to what the Word says. Now he goes on to say, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. I like what the other translation says. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. You know, sometimes when we're driving over here to Oklahoma City, or I'm driving somewhere, I started driving out on the road, driving. I'd driven to California and back by myself. Well, not by myself. My mom and my sister was in the car with me. By the time I was 19, three different times myself. And, you know, and sometimes today I'd be driving somewhere. And you'd be out, you know, like on the turnpike, and it's 75, so you got your speed up to set at 75. But a guy goes by you, choom, you know. Well, you say, well, I could run a little faster. Just let him be out there about 100 yards. I just keep him in sight. Now, don't look at me like that. All of y'all done the same thing. How many of you willing to admit you do the same thing? Call it the rabbit. There's a rabbit out there. I'm going to keep in sight of the rabbit. Well, make up a little time. I don't want to lose. If I lose sight of him, I got to knock it back, because he's the one that's going to get caught first. If I see him get caught, he's out there 100 yards in front of me, 200 yards in front of me, then I can slow down. Come on, let's just be honest. Hey, I'm just a normal person like you are. I see a lot of wives pointing at their husbands. Oh, grin's always a rabbit. Well, I'm not going to say that. But I did keep him in sight one time going down to Kilpatrick when he was headed home and we was going back to Tulsa. And he went by me and I said, well, man, that's Glenn. I believe I'll keep him in sight. But you see, it says here, don't lose sight. Don't let something else come in and you lose sight. You know, if you're trying to keep that car in, well, if you're trying to follow somebody, how many ever tried to follow somebody and you're trying to keep them in sight, and then a semi pulls out between you and them, and now you don't know whether they're turned off of the road or not. Thank God for cell phones now, you can call. Oh, my wife always is hollering at me because I may go through the yellow light and the people that's following me to the restaurant, then they don't know where to go, because they're some of the pastors or our preachers that come in over there to see us. But you see, you got to keep them in sight. there are many things that can come into our lives that cause us to lose sight of what the Word of God says. See, a condition like Kurt said can come in and cause you to lose sight of what the Word said. Many things. You know, the Word said that He will bless us. And people can allow, well, look at all the bills. Look at all this. Look at that. Look at this. Look at that. And see, you quit looking at the Word and you start looking at the circumstance. You start looking at the problem instead of keeping your eyes on the solution. And then it says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. You see, the reason you continue to read the Bible over and over again, the same scriptures over and over again, is because as you read them, every time you read them, they become new again. I know when I was playing football in high school, we come back. Now we all played. We got some of them freshmen coming in, but we all was there last year. We all been playing football since we're kids. But the first thing the coach does, he goes over the stance, getting your balance. He goes over the basics of blocking and tackling. How many guys played football? Is that not correct? Because the game is won on the basics. I mean, if you don't have the right stance, if you don't have planted, so you can see, you know, if you got your feet crossed like this and somebody hits you, you're going down. You can't. But if you got a good balance and they hit you, you can sort of go rock away. Hey, see, you got to stay with the basics. Stay balanced. Now, keep the Word before your eyes. Think about it. Visualize the Word of God working in your life. I know when I was playing sports, the coach come by and say, Hagin, I want you to see yourself catching the touchdown pass. See yourself scoring the basket. See yourself doing it. Anybody ever have another coach tell you that? See yourself doing it. And I heard my dad, from a little kid, I heard my dad when he was preaching to people about healing, he would say, see yourself healed according to the Word of God. See it. You know, keep, you know, a visual of what the Word of God says. Let me understand what I'm saying. How many of you ever realize we're a visual people? The advertising people do. They keep it before your eyes on that television. You know, many of a, and I was thinking about going to politics when I was in high school. I liked politics and I studied a lot into it. But do you know, part of the reason for people putting signs out one right after another and is they call it name recognition. And whenever somebody gets in the voting place, if they don't know who to vote for, they'll recall they saw that name and there they just vote for them. That's the truth. I'm serious. That is a known fact in the political world. It's called name recognition. I trust none of y'all went to the polls and voted that way this year. See, we need to guard what we're seeing. What you see will have an effect on what you believe and how you believe. Hello? Amen. If you see somebody continually tell you, well, now we got to figure out if this is God's will or not, you'll finally start believing, well, I don't know whether this is God's will or not. When you go to the Word of God, it tells you what His will is. You don't have to find that. Now, there are some things you have to pray for the will of God. You know, but when it comes to healing, you don't have to pray to find out what the will of God is. It's perfect. It says right there that it's a will to heal. Hello. You don't have to find out. Somebody, well, I pray the Lord, we'll just see. We don't know whether it's his will to bless us or not. No, the Word of God says, already says, it's his will to prosper us and to bless us. You know, we need to keep all of these things so that they get into our heart so we can believe right. And when we believe right, I mean, when we think right and believe right, we start receiving. And, of course, we go to the scripture that this ministry is built on, Mark 11:23. For surely I say unto you, whoever says this mountain be removed, be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's the Bible. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Mark 11:23. In 11:22, he told the disciples, have the God kind of faith, or have faith in God, literal translation, have the God kind of faith. And in 23, he told you what the God kind of faith was. Say it with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you'll get it. Actually, that's the way you got saved. According to Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hello? It's just that simple. We can't afford to let certain things draw us away from the Word of God. I don't care what preacher you heard preaching it. Don't make no difference. If it's not what the Bible says, then forget it. The Apostle Paul said, if I or an angel come teaching any other gospel, what'd he say? Anybody read it? What does it say? Count it a curse. In other words, don't listen to it. It's not right. You and I as Christians, we can't afford to look at certain things. We can't afford to listen at certain things. Now, I thank God for Christian television, but some of the Christian television got so much junk on it, it's unreal. I'll be on there teaching faith and healing, and right behind me will come somebody teaching, well, you know, we don't know really what the will of God is, but we can pray, and if it's his sovereign will, then he'll come. And no, that's that. Hello. Come on now. Boy, y'all quiet. Y'all still here? Are you listening? Is this helping anybody? What some of you really already know this, but you need to go back over and you need to keep pounding. We need to keep pounding on the basics. You know, you can't afford just to watch and listen anything that comes down the pike. We can't afford to entertain ungodly advice. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God is ungodly advice. I mean, you know, somebody says, well, I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. That's it. If it's not in line with the Word of God, it's ungodly advice. You know, sometimes people go to this one or to that one and asking for advice. And even when somebody gives them the right advice, they go somewhere else and want something because they want it like they want it and not what the Word says. I was a little kid, Dad pastored church. I was just a little, 5 years old, I guess, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I still remember this lady. She knocked on the parson's door. For y'all that don't know, some of you that may be close in my generation, the parsonage of the church used to be next door to the church. And they found out that wasn't good because you're trying to get ready for church and people come, oh, we thought we'd come visit the pastor for church. I got any preacher kids here or any preachers here that know what I'm talking about? Oh, my brother John and sister Shirley. Hey. And so she knocked on the door. Brother Hagin, I know the Word says that I'm not supposed to be unequally yoked. She was going with a guy, didn't believe nothing. And Daddy had counseled her. I know you'd counsel me about that, but I am going to go over to church if it's all right with you. And I'm going to pray till I get the answer. And Daddy told her there ain't no use to pray. God already told you the answer in the Word of God. He ain't going to change his mind. Well, but she came back about 8 hours later. She came back and said, well, the Lord told me it'd be all right if I go ahead and marry him. Daddy told her, said, no, the Lord didn't say that. That's your own self. Well, she married her, married the guy. It wasn't 2 weeks later that she is on our front porch all beat up, wanting mom and dad to help her. Dad told her, he wanted to tell her, I heard him tell mama later. I wanted to tell her, well, we told you so. Now just go back over where you, because she lived right across the street from the house. Go back on over there. You got yourself in it. You made your bed, lie in it, you know. But they tried to help her, you know, and everything. But, hey, God didn't change his mind. She wanted it so bad she thought he did. We got to stay with what God said. How many understand what I'm saying to you? And then it says, if you find them, they're life to all those who find them and health to all their flesh. I like the other translations here. New Century says, they're key to the life for those who find them. They bring health to the whole body. The Living Bible, for they will mean real life for you and radiant health. That's the New Living the old Living Bible. Then they got a New Living Translation. It says, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. And John 10:10 says that we may have life, and then we have it, may have it more abundantly. NIV says have it to the full. Wade translation says have it to the fullest measure. Williams translation says have it till it overflows. God wants our whole life to be impregnated with the Word of God until it overflows in every area of our life. We got to understand what the word of God is, the foundation for abundant life. Yes. The foundation of a building will determine what kind of building you can build there. If you don't have the right type of foundation, you can't build a two-story building. If you don't have a big enough foundation, you can't build, well, the foundation's here, and you build 30 yards on each side of it. Won't work. So the only thing going to stand is what's on the foundation. The rest of it is going to fall. So what we got to realize, the foundation for your Christian life, ever how strong your foundation is how much of the blessings of God will be involved, be happening in your life. Hello, you get that? Anybody understand what I'm saying to you tonight? Amen. See, having the Word of God in your heart means the difference between life or death. It means the difference between health and sickness. It means the difference between prosperity or poverty. It means the difference between being bound or being free. It means the difference from being condemned or being righteous. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:4, exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. The New Life Translation says this, these promises are of great worth, and no money can buy them. Through these promises, you can have God's own life in you. See, the Word of God should be more precious to you than anything. It should be more precious to you than your money or anything else. The Word of God will elevate you to a new experience that you never even thought about. The key to unlocking all of the great abundance of God is the foundation of God's Word in our life. Amen. Pay attention to his word. Amen. You know, it's time that God's people get off a barely good get along street and move up to Abundant Life Avenue. Rise to a new level. God wants you to rise to a new level. He wants you to begin to experience all of the blessings, not just part of them, all of them. You know, there's some people, they have experienced salvation, but that's all of the blessing they've experienced. They hadn't experienced the other blessings. Thank God they're going to heaven if they die. See, I said heaven. That's the way we say it down there in Texas, where I come from. They're going to heaven if they cease living. But you know what? I like the old saying that they used to have when I was a kid in the Pentecostal church. Hey, God wants us to have some heaven to go to heaven in. That's his blessings. Thank God for what we're going to get when we get up there. It's going to be great. But he said, I will give you abundant life down here. How do we get that abundant life? By the word of God. Just go back to what it says. Pay attention. Don't lose sight. Hide them in your heart. Hello? Anybody get anything out of this tonight? How many of you are ready to go to a new level with God? Everybody stand up. I want you to say this with me. Just don't say it because I tell you to. Say it because you believe it. All right, we ready? I receive the advice that God gave us in Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. I renew my commitment to read and study the word on a daily basis. I will pay attention to God's word. I will incline my ear to listen to the word of God. I will not let the word of God depart from my eyes. I will hide the word of God in my heart. Thank you, Father, for helping me to live my life based on your word. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Let's just renew our Heavenly Father. We thank you tonight for your word. We renew our commitment to pay more attention to your word. We knowing that as we pay attention to the word, it will bring the word alive in our life and your blessings will begin to overtake us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, with eyes closed and heads bowed, I never like to preach a message that I don't give somebody an opportunity to be saved or rededicate their life to God or have a no-so experience with God. You know, many people go to church all their life, but they never know whether they've ever experienced salvation or not. Anybody here need Christ? You need to rededicate your life or you need a no-so experience with God? Let me see your hand. I want to pray with you and for you right now. Anybody in this place, anywhere? Praise the Lord. Also, I have another invitation. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd like to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Spirit. Let me see your hand. We'll pray with you and you'll be filled with the Spirit tonight. Well, praise the Lord. Well, raise your hands and thank God everybody in here in this Christ is saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Anybody want prayer for healing tonight? Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I trust you got something out of this little Bible lesson that I give you tonight. I sort of liked it myself. I don't know whether you could tell, but I got excited teaching it to you because I got to thinking about what I know, because I know what I was teaching tonight. I know what it'll do for your life if you'll get a hold of what I was talking to you about. You see, I've been in this all my life. I was born on Sunday morning, and then I was in church the next Sunday, and I've heard my dad preach these things all of my life. And so to me, they become automatic. But you know what? I like to remind myself about them because I myself can let them slip if I'm not careful. And I want to keep reminding you about what the Word says. It's what the Word says, not what somebody says, not even what I say. What did the Bible say? I want you to notice I kept coming back to the Bible, what the Bible said. Hey, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in front of you. And when you find them, it said that it will be health to your whole body. Yes. Didn't know what it said? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock here, we're going to have that special Carol's Candlelight and Communion service. Hey, bring your friends. It's a very beautiful service. So come believing, come expecting. Hey, I go over to one door, she goes to the other door. We'll shake your hands as you go out. You're a great congregation. I enjoy speaking to you. Sometimes I have to figure out whether you're there or not, but it's all right. I just do that on purpose because when I first started preaching as a young, with my father-in-law, that's what, 67, so I was 28 years old, and I get up there to preach, and some of the people there had the Holy Ghost longer than I was old. You know, they've been in the church, you know. And they just sit there and look at me, and I had to learn to preach with people just sitting there. So, but I liked it. I got older now, so I wouldn't say nothing back then. I just keep going, you know. If y'all don't inspire me, I'll inspire myself. I mean, I learned that a long time ago. But sometimes I just do it to sort of wake you up, you know, because you might listen to my voice a little bit, and then all of a sudden I wake you up, saying, get you back on track. God bless you. We love you, man. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part. First time guest, it's that young man right over there on the back row, Greg. See him right over there? We got a special gift for you. Just wait. They're going to give it to you. Bring it to you. Praise God. See y'all next Sunday.